This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. One U.S. soldier was killed and two were wounded Monday in a roadside bombing in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad, one U.S. commander said. Meanwhile, on Monday, Iraq's top Shiite Muslim cleric, in a full-page advertisement, reiterated his demand for the country's next legislature to be elected as he hardens his opposition to U.S. plans for regional caucuses. The Baghdad killing was the first reported combat death among U.S. troops since Friday, when nine soldiers were killed when a medevac helicopter was shot down near Fallujah. The latest casualties were from the 1st Armored Division, the command said. Precautions in the name of air security are about to be taken to a level unimaginable in the United States only a few years ago. The Washington Post reports the Bush administration is expected to order as soon as next month the first step in setting up databases on all air passengers to be used to color code each air traveler according to his or her potential threat level. Passengers coded red would be stopped from boarding, yellow would mean additional screening at airport security checkpoints, and green would mean an only standard level of security. Airlines and airline reservation companies would reportedly be forced to turn over all passenger records to U.S. government officials who struck out in a trial program which was based on voluntary surrender of airline industry data. The Supreme Court has set the stage for a series of rulings on the reach of presidential power, decisions that could arrive just as voters focus on whether to endorse George W. Bush in the 2004 election. Since November, the justices have voted to take up five cases that test the president's power to act alone and without interference by Congress or the courts. The case taken up Friday may be the broadest of all. 2 years ago, the White House said the president had the power to designate U.S. citizens unlawful enemy combatants and hold them in secret military custody without filing charges or allowing them to plead their innocence. More after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth. And that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Mushi, a small cat that formed an unlikely friendship with a half-ton bear called Mouse in a Berlin zoo, has been reunited with her companion after pining outside the bear's cage for months. Mushi has been popular with zoo visitors ever since she appeared in the bear's enclosure 3 years ago. But the pair were split up last October when the bear was locked in a cage while her living space was enlarged. Zookeepers took pity on the distraught cat that had been roaming around the zoo and sitting outside the cage, and this week allowed her in the cage with the female Asiatic black bear. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Before we rush full-tilt buggy into the 04 election cycle, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Yes, the good folks who pay for the campaigns of George W. and most of the Democratic presidential contenders should be acknowledged before next year's vote. I say we should highlight these corporate interests now, just to get a sense of who's buying what in our land of the free. Of course, the corporate big spenders and the politicos they purchase insist that nothing is being bought, that the corporations putting up $100,000 to $1 million each want only good government. If you believe that, Pollyanna, you should check out something called Internal Political Party Documents at this website, campaignlegalcenter.org. Here you'll find the smoking quid pro quo between the corporate contributors and the political contributees of both parties. For example, there's a letter from the Republican Party chairman to the drug giant Bristol-Myers Squibb requesting $250,000. Does the letter ask for good government? Not exactly. It encloses the GOP's health care proposal, asking Bristol-Myers for any changes they'd like to make. The Politico says to the CEO, quote, "We must keep the lines of communication open if we want to continue passing legislation that will benefit your industry." There's another letter from the Republican finance chairman to the chairman of Global Crossing, the corrupt telecommunications giant that, at the time, was pushing for a federal okay of a merger. As an ante, Global Crossing had pledged $100,000 to the party with a promise to hike it to $250,000 if the merger went through. Surprise! It did. So the finance chairman wrote back to the corporate guy, "I am taking the liberty of enclosing an invoice for the additional upgrade." This is Jim Hightower saying, this corporate money is not buying good government, it's buying corruption. To stop it, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Monday evening. Program produced by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces for us. Well, the big story, two big stories. Paul O'Neill does something unprecedented in the Bush administration. He tells the truth. You know, Robert Reich, who served as Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration and later wrote a controversial book about the experience, said he believes any former member of an administration was serving the public good by disclosing how decisions were made. Reich is quoted as saying, "Cabinet members should be loyal to the president, but they have a larger loyalty to the public." Really? Reich went on to say, "If Paul O'Neill has come across something that is deeply disturbing or is likely to be deeply disturbing, then he has every right and indeed a responsibility to reveal that." Well, yeah, I would think you're right, Secretary Reich. But this is Bush's America. And already, the spinning, it was very curious to watch how the story developed towards the end of last week when CBS and Time Magazine both revealed, Time Magazine in an excerpt from the book, well, I don't think it's an exact excerpt, but an article about the book written by, was it Susskind? What's the guy's first name? Paul Susskind?
Ron
Susskind, former Wall Street Journal reporter. Time Magazine started revealing little bits and pieces of what was to be in the book. And then CBS, of course, Leslie Stahl's interview with O'Neill last night on 60 Minutes, little bits and pieces of that started slipping out. It was curious to me, and possibly to you, but it was curious to me, having worked in media, having worked in radio and television and print most of my working life, other than the time I sold magazine subscriptions on the phone, or sold newspapers. What else did I do? Worked in a factory. I don't know. Anyway, it was curious to me to see how this was being handled by the Bush administration. Now, I will guarantee you this. Over the weekend, there's lots of conversations in the highest levels of the Bush administration. That would mean Cheney and Rove. They are the ones who make all of the decisions. Every single decision is made by Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. They occasionally include a Lewis Scooter Libby, and occasionally, who's the other guy who was the advisor at the White House, Kathy? Can't think of his name now. Occasionally they include some of these other people, but the real decisions, the day-to-day decisions, the policy decisions, every single decision is not made by Bush or Rice or Powell or even Rumsfeld. These decisions are made by two people, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, period. How do I know that? I can't reveal my sources, okay? Over the weekend, there was an awful lot of talk going on. All right, how are we going to handle this? Bush was out of the country today, went to Mexico. Yeah, we'll have a little bit of sound from that. The meeting with Vicente Fox. What is very interesting, as a little sidebar, this whole idea of relaxing immigration the way Bush has done it, this is not Bush's idea. This is not even Karl Rove's idea. This is Vicente's Fox's idea 2 years ago. But it's one of those ideas that Karl Rove put on the back burner and said, well, let's wait, you know, until it gets closer to the election so that we can get the Mexican vote, you know, Hispanic vote or Latino vote. Okay, back to the main story. Bush is out of the country. So over the weekend, they're spinning. Okay, how do we do that? How do we handle this? I know. Let's suggest the former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, first of all, is a jackass. Secondly, he's stupid. Third, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Fourth, see if we can find something. I know. I saw on 60 Minutes, one of the documents had the word secret. Let's start an investigation of him. Let's investigate. I mean, not that we have any other investigations going on. Oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to be investigating who leaked the name of Ms. Plame, the CIA. Never mind. 911 investigation. Oh, never mind about that. Let's investigate Secretary O'Neill. Now, a little the full disclosure here thing here. I personally think Paul O'Neill is a jackass. A total incompetent freak. He comes from Alcoa. He's a pig. He's an environmental destroyer. I would like to see people like Paul O'Neill and the rest of these thugs move to Mars. Just go away. Get out of my face. Go away. I hate you. I hate you all. Okay? So I have no love for Paul O'Neill whatsoever. I said that when Bush appointed him Secretary of the Treasury. A complete ass. A total loser. A destroyer of jobs. A destroyer of the environment. A disrespecter of human rights, labor rights. Blah, 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 blah. On and on and on and on and on. But Paul O'Neill happened to be one of the few people who sat at the very interior part of this cauldron of evil that bubbles in the Oval Office now in the White House. Paul O'Neill was there. He saw it. He understands what you and I have been talking about for 3 years. George Bush is a dunce and a moron. He cannot engage anybody in any sort of discussion about anything because he is the stupidest man ever to occupy the Oval Office. This government is being run, well, the hands-on day-to-day stuff by Dick Cheney. And Karl Rove, of course. Let's not forget Karl Rove. So having said that about Paul O'Neill, we are going to give you some of his quotes from the program last night. 60 Minutes, but I frankly think Paul O'Neill is an ass and should be put in the dock and tried with the rest of these people and forced to go to prison for whatever crimes he may have committed. I don't know if he's committed anything. But a year ago, Bush fired him. And in the Bush crime family, what is primary in the Bush crime family? Your utter loyalty, which means your utter silence. I've said, you've said, we all have said, this Bush crime family, it's like the mafia. It's like one of the old mafia families. Omerta is the key word. Silence. Silence on pain of death. Some sort of death. Political death, financial death, or real death. Omerta. You shut up. Whatever you see and hear, whatever stenches and stinks and vile concoctions are put together in the Bush crime family, you do not speak about it ever. Not ever. Unless you're willing to pay the price. So the fact that O'Neill was fired, O'Neill started speaking against Bush policies with the second massive tax cut for the wealthy when O'Neill, in a moment of, I don't know, drunken stupor, maybe he smoked some reefer, I have no idea, but he said, well, do you think we ought to be giving a second tax cut to the rich? what do you think there, guys? That was enough to seal O'Neill's fate. O'Neill has said several things when he was Secretary of Treasury that did not go along with what the Bush crime family and Cheney and Rove wanted out there for public consumption. So O'Neill became a marked man. It was just a matter of time when to get rid of him. Well, they got rid of him a year ago. The story's out now that Cheney called him up to fire him, and Cheney said, listen, we're going to fire you. We're going to kick your carcass, your ass to the street. But do us a favor. When we do that, tell the press that you made the decision, that you decided to resign. And O'Neill said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people, how much I loathe these people? Anyway, the book is out. The Price of Loyalty is the name of it, written by, what's his name, Paul Susskin? Ron Susskin, thank you. Ron Susskin. The Price of Loyalty. What happens when you sign on, when you make a pact with Satan? What happens? Bush is the devil, or else Cheney's the devil, or the whole cadre of these people are impish demons from hell. But here is the first one, Paul O'Neill. He says he's going public, or he went public, because he thinks the Bush administration has been way too secretive about how decisions have been made. Hello? And, of course, the impeachable offense, but I noticed today it was on page 11A of the New York Times. The impeachable offense, the event that should, it won't, but it should wake up the people who might be inclined to vote for this monster. The impeachable offense were the lies, of course, that was told regarding Iraq. Now, what is interesting, late in the day today, I started hearing, as I cruised through the cable channels, which I shouldn't do because I value my mental health, but the new spin, you see, at the late in the day, along about 4:30 this afternoon, I think, is when I started to hear this. O'Neill's charges that from day one of this corrupt, filthy Bush administration, plans were on the table to invade Iraq. Just find me a way to do it. That Bush is not to be faulted for this. Why? Because that was the Clinton administration policy. Okay? You see how this works? Now, this started around 4:30. Once the spin masters inside the White House, that would be Rove and the rest of these vermin, once they started to realize, uh-oh, this thing's getting out of hand. We've got to do something. So where are we going to find the oil to pour on the water? I know. Let's get out there that the Clinton administration thought Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Now, this filthy, corrupt, degenerate Bush administration, who tried to change the days of the week when they took power because Clinton had used Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, change anything that had Clinton's a signature, Clinton's thumbprint, anything to do with Clinton. Oh, no, we have nothing to do with that. Until it becomes convenient. Then they stand back, raise their leg, urinate all over once again the truth, justice, democracy, and American media, and come out with the story.
Well, yeah, well, maybe we did start talking about it from day one, but that's only an extension of the Clinton administration. You see how that works? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
These people are disgusting. They're just disgusting. Now, in a just society, in an informed society, these sons of bitches would be out before November 2nd. They would be gone. They would be driven from office for what they have done. 100 Americans dead in Afghanistan. Christ himself couldn't tell you how many civilians are dead there. 500 Americans dead in Iraq. Muhammad, Allah, nobody can tell you how many civilians are dead there. And these people continue in office with their lies and their deceptions and their sickness, they continue in office. Now, let's see. Why did we impeach Bill Clinton? Oh, that's right.
Darkness. any longer.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
No doubt his hatred is mainly directed at us. After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad.
Twenty-four past the hour, and of course, the other big story today is the release of the Army War College report that, in almost unprecedented terms, criticizes this corrupt administration, the Bush administration, in its handling of this phony-ass war on terrorism. The War College report accuses the Bush crime family of taking a detour into what is referred to as an unnecessary war in Iraq and pursuing an unrealistic quest against terrorism that may lead to U.S. wars with states that pose no serious threat. Think about that for a second, okay? Just let that sink in and who it's coming from. These people have got to be removed from office. Dear God, they have to be removed from office. Now, Sean sent this in. Mike, I'm sure you saw this also, but CNN is reporting that the Inspector General's Office of the Treasury Department now wants to investigate Paul O'Neill for possibly possessing top-secret documents from the early days of the Bush administration, namely the memo shown during the 60 Minutes interview outlining plans for a post-Saddam Iraq. Sean writes, aren't these bastards amazing? It takes them 3 months to start an investigation into who outed Valerie Plame, putting her life and her work in danger. Another 3 months before Ashcroft recuses himself from the case, and still no results. The day after O'Neill tells the truth on Bush and Company, they start an investigation. Oh, my God. Yeah. Sean, that's true. A couple of quick quotes. Excuse me. And then to your phone calls tonight. This is from Paul O'Neill on the book by Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Soskin. Remember, O'Neill didn't write the book. He's just extensively quoted in, as are other cabinet members, according to Soskin, that he won't name. Title of the book, Price of Loyalty. Leslie Stahl asks about, this is from 60 Minutes last night. Leslie Stahl asks about O'Neill's experience on the National Security Council. As the Secretary of the Treasury, he sat in on National Security Council meetings. What happened at Bush's very first National Security Council meeting is one of O'Neill's most startling revelations. O'Neill says that going after Saddam was topic A 10 days after the inauguration, 8 months before September 11th. Altogether now, duh.
In the very beginning, there was a conviction that Saddam Hussein was a bad person and that he needed to go. For me, the notion of a preemption, that the U.S. has the unilateral right to do whatever we decide to do, is a really huge leap.
Yeah, it is in terms of war making, Mr. O'Neill, but it was not in terms of U.S. Economic policy during your short reign. Preemption against other economies was something that you and your thuggish cronies took great pleasure in bringing about. But I get your point, Mr. Secretary, where it concerns war, because war, let's face it, except for the military-industrial complex, is not good for business, is it, sir? We got time for the second one here, Kathy? Okay. Leslie Stahl says, after 9/11 and the war in Afghanistan, the budget deficit was growing. So at a meeting with the vice president after the midterm elections in 2002, Susskind writes that O'Neill argued against a second round of tax cuts. 9 days after that meeting, in which O'Neill made it clear he could not publicly support another tax cut, the vice president called and asked him to resign. With the deficit now climbing beyond $500 billion, O'Neill maintains that he was right.
It was not just about not winning the tax cut. It was about how to use the nation's resources to improve the condition of our society. And I thought the weight of working on Social Security and fundamental tax reform was a lot more important than a tax reduction.
Did you think it was irresponsible?
Well, it's for sure not what I would have done.
Yeah. Well, you're out now, Mr. O'Neill, so it really doesn't matter, does it? More of his quotes, a couple more, and your comments when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get Union Made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Switching from hydrocarbons to carbohydrates means more than rearranging letters. It could change the future of our energy economy. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Two like-sounding words have very different chemistries. Hydrocarbons are made up of carbon and hydrogen atoms, and they're key components of fossil fuels such as coal, oil, and natural gas. Carbohydrates are also composed of carbon and hydrogen, but they include oxygen. They often take the form of starches, sugars, and cellulose found in green plants. David Morris is vice president of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis. Morris argues that our future lies in an economy built around carbohydrates, the plant materials, instead of hydrocarbons, the fossil fuels.
The carbohydrate economy is actually a phrase that I invented about 20 years ago, and it describes an economy where you get your fuels and your industrial materials from living materials, primarily from plants, and that economy processes the plants near where they are grown, and that they are smaller scale and medium scale processing plants, and that they are owned locally.
Morris says all the fuels and chemicals we now get from petroleum and coal could be derived from plant materials.
The carbohydrate economy says anything we can make out of a hydrocarbon, we can make out of a carbohydrate, and at one point we did.
Morris says people used to make dyes, plastics, fabrics, and hundreds of other products from plants before the age of petrochemicals. Morris says carbohydrates are cleaner than hydrocarbons, and he says we won't run out of plant materials. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So the big weekend flap, of course, is what built to the weekend flap. Starting about last Tuesday or Wednesday, Paul O'Neill's comments in a new book by Susskind. What's his name again? Ron's. That's one of those. I'm just going to draw a blank all night, Kathy. Bush had said about Paul O'Neill that he, Paul O'Neill, when O'Neill was either nominated or during his confirmation or his swearing in or whatever, Bush said, Paul O'Neill speaks with authority and conviction and knowledge. He has earned a reputation as a straight shooter. But you see, the White House flacks now are saying, well, we didn't listen to him when he was the Secretary of Treasury. Why should we listen to him now? You see? During the interview last night with Leslie Stahl on CBS's 60 Minutes, O'Neill expressed a surprising ennui about why the Bushes might be upset with his statements in the book. Stahl says, you're giving me the impression that you're just going to be stunned if they attack you for this book, and they're going to say, I predict, you know, it's sour grapes, Mr. Secretary. They're going to say you're getting back at the Bush administration because you were fired.
I will be really disappointed if they react that way, because I think they'll be hard put.
But are you prepared for it?
Well, I don't think I need to be, because I can't imagine that I'm going to be attacked for telling the truth. Why would I be attacked for telling the truth?
I said surprising ennui. I meant surprising naivete. The naivete level there, the naiveness level, is off the chart. I can't imagine, he says, that I'm going to be attacked for telling the truth. Why would I be attacked for telling the truth? Mr. Secretary, you sat there for 2 years and watched the lies and the deceptions. You watched the American public being ripped a new body orifice by these thugs, and you'd be surprised if they get pissed off because you told the truth, because you ratted them out, because you snitched, because you let the American public know how corrupt these bastards are, and you are going to be surprised, Mr. Secretary, if they get upset? Please. Please. Now, too stupid to be president was in Monterrey, Mexico today with El Presidente Vicente Fox. And after their joint statements, they took some questions. Too stupid to find his ass with both hands was standing up there with the most vacant, vacuous look. I think I have. Oh well. No, why characterize his stupidity any further? I've run out of phrases, words, cuss words, and adjectives. So let's just get to the question. One of the reporters says, President Bush, is it true, as your former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill says, that you started planning for the invasion of Iraq within days of your inauguration? Do you feel betrayed that he said this? Should he have released the documents that he released? Now, keep in mind, gentle listener, that Paul O'Neill released no documents. Okay, so once again, the crack White House press corps has it ass backwards, upside down, and show their lack of understanding about what's going on here. It's the AP reporting traveling press. Kathy shrieks into my headphones. It's not the White House press corps. Okay, well, all right. They're asking the president questions. It's hard for me to bear in mind. O'Neill said that going after Saddam was topic A 10 days after the inauguration, 8 months before September 11th. Now, this is important as you listen to Bush's lame reply. After thanking O'Neill for his service, Bush, in response to the question, did you really start planning for the invasion of Iraq within days of your inauguration? Bush says this.
September the 11th made me realize that America was no longer protected by oceans, and we had to take threats very seriously, no matter where they may be materializing. And now, the stated policy of my administration towards Saddam Hussein was very clear. Like the previous administration, we were for regime change.
There you go.
And in the initial stages of the administration, as you might remember, we were dealing with desert badger or flyovers and
what?
Fly-betweens and looks. And so we were fashioning policy along those lines, and then all of a sudden September the 11th hit. And as the President of the United States, my most solemn obligation is to protect the security of the American people.
Okay, why bother? But how much just rancid BS is in that statement, okay? First of all, after a reporter says, is it true, as your former Treasury Secretary says, that you started planning for the invasion of Iraq within days of your inauguration, Bush says September the 11th made me realize that America was no longer protected by ocean, but September 11th hadn't happened. This guy lives in what? Just some kind of a dope-encrusted, drunken, dry-drunk fantasy world. That's not what the question was, stupid. 911 hadn't happened when Bush started talking about the Iraq invasion plans and ways to divvy up the oil fields. Jesus! I mean, they had a list of 30 countries that they were going to share the spoils with to hide what they were doing. Unbelievable. And then he says, so we had to take the threats very seriously, no matter where they may be materializing. That does not answer the question, you moron. And then he says it. Like the previous administration, we were for regime change. Like the previous administration, were you cowardly little bastard, you. You cowardly little B-A-S-T-A-R-D, all caps, bastard. You cowardly little thug. You have run with your tail between your legs from every single thing the Clinton administration left you, whether it was information about incipient terrorism, whether it was reports about using airplanes to fly into buildings in this country, whether it was a Kyoto Treaty on trying to get down the poisons that are going into the air, whether it was an agreement with the North Koreans, no matter what it was, you ran, you little creeps. But on this one, like the previous administration, we were for regime change. Every single thing that Clinton handed off, clean air, clean water, clean environment, healthy forests, no matter what it was, these pissants destroyed or walked away from or said they wanted no part of. Ah, but this one? Like the previous administration, we were for regime change. They did it. It was Clinton. Clinton did it. It was Clinton. And I'm sure that's what every single right-wing punk on talk radio, which is everybody except about four of us, I'm sure that's what the message was today. They all stay on message. They all stay on message. Well, Clinton administration thought there were weapons. But then his last little bit here, in the initial stages of the administration, he says, as you might remember, and listen to this. Listen to this brain dead. This is a guy who runs this country. He doesn't run it, but I mean, he sits there at the top of the heap of these corpse-producing neo-Nazis, and the guy says this. In the initial stages of the administration, we were dealing with Desert Badger. What? Or flyovers, or fly-betweens, and looks. What? Looks? Fly-betweens? Flyovers? And as the President of the United States, my most solemn obligation to protect the security of the American people. No, it's not. It's to protect and uphold and defend the Constitution. Not the people. We're a nation of laws, not of men, you moron. It's up to the army, the military, to defend, protect the security of the American people, not you. Oh, jeez. I don't know what to say. This crap never stops. These people lied us into war. They have increased the number of corpses at Arlington National Cemetery and in cemeteries around the country. They have slaughtered Christ himself, Allah himself, Muhammad, I don't know, one of these spooks, only knows how many corpses have been accumulated of Afghan civilians and Iraqi civilians. They are mass murderers, these people, okay? They got their bones in Central America and in Central Africa and in Southeast Asia. These are killers. And now they've got the Middle East. But the American public?
Did you see Wesley Clark? He started to wear Argyle sweaters. He's trying to get the girl vote.
Bush, a blind man in a room full of deaf people. No connection. Nothing. The book is Price of Loyalty. One of our listeners called Barnes & Noble to get a copy of this book, and the online, or somebody, I guess at Barnes & Noble, the bookstore told her that the release date had been pushed back. I wonder if that's the case. Based on his interviews with O'Neill and several other officials at the meetings, these national security meetings, Susskind writes that the planning envisioned, the planning for Iraq that began in January of 2001 envisioned peacekeeping troops, war crimes tribunals, and divvying up Iraq's oil wealth. Susskind obtained one Pentagon document dated March 5th, 2001, and entitled, quote, Foreign Suitors for Iraqi Oil Field Contracts, end quote, which included a map of potential areas for exploration. Susskind says, quote, it talks about contractors around the world, you know, 30, 40 countries, and which ones have what intentions on oil in Iraq. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. But will we do anything about it, we Americans? Nah, 60% of us still think George Bush is an honest man and doing a great job. So what does O'Neill reveal through Ron Susskind's writing? What is revealed here? According to the book, I haven't read the book either. According to excerpts that are all over the place, ideology and getting too stupid to be president reelected so dominated the domestic policy process that it was impossible to have a rational exchange of ideas. That's what these people are about. This is Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. It's about power and greed and money, period. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. According to Susskind, the incurious president was so opaque on some important issues that top cabinet officials were left trying to guess what was in his mind, even after face-to-face meetings. But Cheney? Cheney is portrayed as an unstoppable force, unbowed by inconvenient facts as he drives American policy toward his goals. Dick Cheney. Tom is calling from Marietta, Georgia. Hey, Tom.
Greetings, Mike. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, so much to talk about. But
yeah,
the main thing, I was watching 60 Minutes last night and made the terrible mistake of bringing my dinner down and eating while Mr. O'Neill was speaking. And when he said that point where Leslie Stahl says to him, well, you've just indicated that the emperor is pretty well near naked as a jaybird. And he's like, oh, you mean I should be afraid that they're going to do something to me?
Right.
I almost choked.
Mm-hmm.
This is a CEO of a company. I mean, if this is the way CEOs are so naive, no wonder American business is in such sorry shape that it is. And while some of the at the same time, while some of these other people are trying to fleece them for all they can get, you know.
You make a good point. I think that's one of the reasons, like Chainsaw Al from Sunbeam or wherever he's coming
in. Dunlap, yeah.
Yeah, and this guy, and so many of these CEOs, when they sign directives that eliminates tens of thousands of jobs, when they send whole cities and half of a state into an economic tailspin because they move offshore, they do not understand, nor are they capable of understanding or tuning into the human side of the story. So I think that is reflected in the fact that O'Neill sits there with Leslie Stahl and doesn't understand, can't hook into the fact that his ass is toast. They will get him. O'Neill will be gotten somehow. And the naivety of this guy, I think you're right. I don't think that naivete is unique to O'Neill. I think it is a hallmark of corporate executives. They couldn't find their asses with both hands. They don't understand the human side of their decisions.
Yeah, they're living in a world where, you know, you exercise power, whatever power it is, and in O'Neill's case, it's the power of giving information or telling the truth, as he says it, and the rest of the world is supposed to just sit there and take it.
Exactly.
Well, not all the people are going to sit there and take it, primarily your enemies, but this book, it's probably going to be held up while the government goes over and looks for any classified information in it. They've got justification to hold it up now while they scour it for,
Hey, do you want to hold on?
Oh, sure.
All right, let me put you on hold. I'll come back. quick break here. Stay with us, folks. We're going to get your phone calls very quickly tonight because I guess I'm too angry to talk a lot tonight. So you're going to do a lot of talking, okay? Unless you're too angry. That's a possibility.
Meetings at undisclosed locations to suspend the Constitution and sustain the corporation. Their minutes, notes, and memos can't be shared. And by the way, does anybody know the current whereabouts of Kenneth Lee? National security, of the public scrutiny, policy of legal coup d'etat. We have a shadow government.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday afternoon, I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation? Join me. Let's transform ourselves and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
The policy of my government is the removal of Saddam.
Wait till somebody has a policy of removing you, huh? Back to Tom and Marietta. Tom, go ahead. Wrap it up for me.
Yeah, thanks. The other thing that we... got confirmation from O'Neill yesterday was how Bush's mind is controlled by Karl Rove with the second tax cut. O'Neill said, well, we've already given money away to the rich. Why are we going to do this again? And even Bush, he got Bush to, according to his thing, admit the same thing. And so suddenly Rove pops in, and what does Rove say? Stick to the script.
Right.
So anyway, I look forward to hearing more comments about that.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Mike.
Appreciate your comments. Tony Blair, according to the Scotsman newspaper, Scotsman.com, Tony Blair has admitted that he does not know whether Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction at the time of the Iraq War and is no longer confident of finding any. Blair has also said that, really, he was only looking for evidence of clandestine operations in Iraq, which means he's backing down from his earlier pledge that weapons programs would be found rather than weapons themselves. So now, no weapons, no weapons programs. Now Tony Blair says, well, what we're really looking for were clandestine operations. This all occurred yesterday on BBC One's Breakfast with Frost. Mr. Blair made no attempt to defend the central claim in his Iraq dossier that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction that could be fired within 45 minutes. When challenged if he now accepts this to be wrong, Blair said, you can't say that at this point in time. What you can say is that we received the intelligence about Saddam's programs and about his weapons, that we acted on that. It's the case throughout the whole of the conflict. I remember having conversations with the chief of defense staff and other people who were saying, well, we think we might have potential weapons of mass destruction finds here or there. Now, these things didn't actually come to anything in the end, but... I don't know, is the answer, Blair said. Oh, my God. And you know what? I can't speak for the people of the UK. I'm sorry, of England. They may get rid of Blair. They may run him out of town. They may put his head on a pike at the bridge the way they did. We talked about this last. Thomas More. They may draw and quarter him the way they did with Thomas More, but probably not. As far as Bush is concerned, given the stupidity level, the S factor in this country, Bush will probably walk away from this scot-free.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Precautions in the name of air security are about to be taken to a level unimaginable in the United States only a few years ago. The Washington Post reports the Bush administration is expected to order as soon as next month the first step in setting up databases on all air passengers to be used to color code each air traveler according to his or her potential threat level. Passengers coded red would be stopped from boarding, yellow would mean additional screening at airport security checkpoints, and green would mean an only standard level of security. Airlines and airline reservation companies would reportedly be forced to turn over all passenger records to U.S. government officials who struck out in a trial program which was based on voluntary surrender of airline industry data. One U.S. soldier was killed and two were wounded Monday in a roadside bombing in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad, one U.S. commander said. Meanwhile, on Monday, Iraq's top Shiite Muslim cleric, in a full-page advertisement, reiterated his demand for the country's next legislature to be elected as he hardens his opposition to U.S. plans for regional caucuses. The Baghdad killing was the first reported combat death among U.S. troops since Friday, when 9 soldiers were killed when a medevac helicopter was shot down near Fallujah. The latest casualties were from the 1st Armored Division, the command said. The Supreme Court has set the stage for a series of rulings on the reach of presidential power, decisions that could arrive just as voters focus on whether to endorse George W. Bush in the 2004 election. Since November, the justices have voted to take up 5 cases that test the president's power to act alone and without interference by Congress or the courts. The case taken up Friday may be the broadest of all. 2 years ago, the White House said the president had the power to designate U.S. citizens unlawful enemy combatants and hold them in secret military custody without filing charges or allowing them to plead their innocence. More after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
A German woman caused more than $128,000 worth of damage when an attempt to back out of her spot in a parking garage ended with her car on its roof and 4 other vehicles damaged. Police said the woman reversed sharply out of her spot on the upper level of a parking garage in the town of Kirchen, Germany, demolishing a parked Nissan and damaging a Mitsubishi next to it. She then accelerated forward, speeding through her original parking space and over a low protective wall, pitching her Audi 20 feet down onto a lower level of the car park. The car crashed into a Renault, hit a Citroën, and finally came to rest on its roof. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Before we rush full tilt buggy into the 04 election cycle, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Yes, the good folks who pay for the campaigns of George W. and most of the Democratic presidential contenders should be acknowledged before next year's vote. I say we should highlight these corporate interests now, just to get a sense of who's buying what in our land of the free. Of course, the corporate big spenders and the politicos they purchase insist that nothing is being bought, that the corporations putting up $100,000 to $1 million each want only good government. If you believe that, Pollyanna, you should check out something called Internal Political Party Documents at this website, campaignlegalcenter.org. Here you'll find the smoking quid pro quo between the corporate contributors and the political contributees of both parties. For example, there's a letter from the Republican Party chairman to the drug giant Bristol-Myers Squibb requesting $250,000. Does the letter ask for good government? Not exactly. It encloses the GOP's health care proposal, asking Bristol-Myers for any changes they'd like to make. The Politico says to the CEO, quote, "We must keep the lines of communication open if we want to continue passing legislation that will benefit your industry." There's another letter from the Republican finance chairman to the chairman of Global Crossing, the corrupt telecommunications giant that, at the time, was pushing for a federal okay of a merger. As an ante, Global Crossing had pledged $100,000 to the party with a promise to hike it to $250,000 if the merger went through. Surprise, it did. So the finance chairman wrote back to the corporate guy, "I am taking the liberty of enclosing an invoice for the additional upgrade." This is Jim Hightower saying, this corporate money is not buying good government, it's buying corruption. To stop it, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. From our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, O'Neill says in the 60 Minutes interview with Bush... Or, I'm sorry, in the 60 Minutes interview with Leslie Sala, Bush, wanting to go after Hussein, said, quote, "Go find a way for me to do this." Connect the dots, then, Chris writes, in this administration's follow the money. Connecting the dots, you have to do something huge, big enough to go to war, big enough to provoke the American people to support the government again, big enough that no one can argue with anything that comes in response, like 9-1-1. From 9-1-1 comes the so-called war on terror. But the U.S. can't or won't find Osama bin Laden, and needing a new boogeyman, the campaign to frame Iraq and Hussein for the attacks begins in the media. Media reports are scripted so that 9-1-1 is mentioned in 1 minute, and the next, Iraq in some manner is dropped in. The banging of the drum becomes more steady and increases in decibel level until it's deafening, and the public is completely and totally disoriented, so much so that they actually believe Hussein was responsible for 9-1-1, despite being told repeatedly that it was Osama bin Laden. O'Neill's revelation of the, quote, "find me a way to do this," end quote, is bigger than big simply because it gives us another dot to connect and it gives us another brick that has come out of the wall, especially where it concerns 911 lore. If we can't see the obvious connections between find me a way to do this and 911, the resultant war on terror and the framing of Hussein and finally the actual massacre in Iraq, we better hope there's a God. Because we're sure as hell going to need some kind of divine intervention. From our senior correspondent in Minnesota, Chris. Well, I would take it one step further. Maybe Chris was saying this, but if find me a way to invade Iraq, I don't care what it is, find me a way. Oh? Really? Well, there are all these intelligence reports about an attack on our soil. Now, we can stop the attack. But why should we? Then you'll have your reason to go to Iraq. From Matt, Mike, I've decided this country is loaded with the most ignorant, jingoistic bastards that ever lived on this earth. After seeing O'Neill's interview on 60 Minutes last night, I expected to wake up and see comments in the Times. There is nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Why isn't Dean jumping all over this in support of his opposition to the war? I give up, Matt. Well, Matt, there was something in the Times. It was on page A16. Or was it 7? No, it was 16. Oh, God, this guy. Yeah, David, get it said and get off my radio program.
Oh, Mike, you're not going to show me no love tonight?
No, not ever.
Okay. Well, I was calling to say about this O'Neill thing. I think the reason why it's fallen flat is because you can make the case that O'Neill is just angry because he has gotten fired. And I was listening to you, and I was thinking about there was Harkin, there was Enron, there's Halliburton. Would you call this president Teflon or what?
What?
I said, would you call him Teflon or what? Teflon Don, I mean.
Who? Bush?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
No, I wouldn't call him Teflon. He's a lying, murderous son of a bitch who happens to have a compliant media who refuses to expose his crimes. And he also has a Democratic Party leadership in opposition who loves his ass, wants to go to war with him, and doesn't have the backbone God gave a worm. What are you talking about, David? Are you as stupid as you sound normally when you call this program, or is that just a game?
Mike, what I'm doing is just saying that the loyal opposition with the Democratic Party.
There's no opposition in this country.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, when did you become an authority on the opposition to George Bush and his criminal buddies?
Well, the opposition, Mike, is getting smaller and smaller because you have an election coming up. They seem unable.
David, why don't you oppose a man who would trample all over you? You're an insect to him who has no respect for anything that you represent and is taking away your country, not to mention your job, your dignity, and your freedom. Forget the Democratic Party leadership, David. Why don't you do something?
Well, let me tell you why. Because you look at what we're fighting up against. We're fighting this war on terrorism. You disagree with it.
You don't. Nothing computes in your brain, does it? You're like an awful lot of neoconservative right wingers. It just doesn't click in your brain, no matter who tells you. Even if somebody as brilliant and venal as Paul O'Neill, like I said, I have no love for this man because he's a corporate pissant. But even when somebody like that on the inside who sits there and watches all this go down and then comes out in public, even then it doesn't compute with guys like you, does it? It just doesn't register. Nothing clicks over. The tumblers are rusted, and they just sit there in your punkin brain, right?
Why this man doesn't resonate with me? Like, number one, this is sour grapes. He's angry because he's gotten fired. And number two, you look at Saddam Hussein, you look at Osama bin Laden, you look at people who want to kill you and I because we enjoy freedoms that they disagree with. For whatever reasons, terrorists want to strap explosives to themselves and kill Jews and Americans.
Yeah, well, let me quote something Muhammad Ali said years ago. No Viet Cong ever called me nigger, okay? Now, David, let me tell you something right now. I am not a spineless son of a bitch like you are that is terrified of my own shadow. Saddam Hussein to me is nothing. As far as Osama bin Laden is concerned, if U.S. intelligence really thought that Osama bin Laden attacked this country, then Osama bin Laden should have been hunted down. Every single resource this country had, every single resource of the international policing organizations should have been brought together to bring him to justice. But Saddam Hussein ain't never called me nigger, okay? You understand what I'm saying with that, David? Quoting Muhammad Ali, just a slight difference in the quote. Grow up. Grow up, David. Go drive your truck someplace. These people are waiting to devour you. And I'm not talking about Saddam. I'm talking about Bush and all of his thugs. You are nothing more than something they'll spread on a piece of bread when they're ready to spread you, pal. Joe's calling from Brookings, Oregon, our bureau chief there. Hey, Joe.
Well, God bless you, Mike Malloy, for giving equal time to retards. Now, about Paul O'Neill, you know, it's obvious with this guy. It's such sour grapes on his part because the economy is doing so great without him. Hell, in the last month of December, 1,000 new jobs were created.
Yeah.
Wow.
Indeed.
Wow, I'm going to wet my pants. That's great. Happy days are here again. As far as Paul O'Neill's naivete, well, what can you say? I mean, he's an American. I mean, that's just not something with him in corporate America. I'd say two out of every three Americans are every bit as a naive.
Well, I was referring specifically to this upper level executive stuff where these people don't seem to understand simple laws of physics as they apply to human dynamics, like action and reaction, or the conservation of energy, or whatever the Newtonian or Einsteinian principle is. These people just don't seem to get it. And for O'Neill to sit there and say, "Well, why would they come after me? Why would they be upset? I'm just telling the truth." To me, it shows a naivete that is beyond belief. But it's the same kind of naive attitude when they chop 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 jobs out of 1, 2, 6, 8, 10, 12, 50 industries, and kids go without clothing, and pregnant women don't have health care, and men lose their jobs, and women lose their jobs, and the whole economy tanks, then you have some jackass like O'Neill say, "Well, I don't understand why they would be upset with me for telling the truth."
Well, I think it's a wishful thinking on his part. American people better get it together, but I kind of doubt it. You know, you look at the major political parties, the Democrats are as pathetic as they are, and there's even less hope for the Republican Party. I mean, this moron in the White House, the mascot for Mad Magazine, you know, he doesn't even have any competition, you know, for the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. Why isn't there someone like a Paul O'Neill or a war hero like a John McCain to run against this moron? I mean, I heard a guy one time on the Tom Hartman show talking about, "Oh, there's still hope for the Republican Party." Oh.
No. The reason no one will challenge Bush, no McCain, none of these other people, is because, as far as I'm concerned, it's what I maintain all the time, that every Republican, I don't care if it's a Republican from the northeastern United States who happens to be in the Senate or the House. I don't care if it's some brain-addled moron like John McCain. It makes no difference to me. Republicans, every single one of them, are corrupt down to the soles of their feet. Why should they challenge George Bush? They may not like him, they may not like some of his policies, but they love the core principles of the Republican Party right now, which is religious fanaticism and destroy the world. So why challenge him? They're getting exactly what they want. McCain is a phony ass stalking horse for something, I don't know what. Olympia Snow and Lincoln Chafee, or whatever, I guess Lincoln is the old old man who's now dead. These people, these Northeastern Republicans, are a joke. They're still Republicans. And anybody, from your mama all the way to John McCain, who says they're Republican, they're part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. They support death, destruction, the end of this economy, the end of this country, and a police state. And I say, a pox on all of them. So that's my answer to what you say. There's nobody. Who's going to challenge Joe? These people don't care. They go along with it. McCain loves his stuff. Are you kidding?
And then punks like Bill O'Reilly, they get up on TV and they say, well, this is a bunch of nonsense. Bush went to war in Iraq for all the wrong reasons. After all, they're just going to war for all the same reasons that Gephardt and Clinton and some of these other punk Democrats did. Well, they were full of it too. We've been slaughtering that country for 13 and a half years now in Iraq. It's one of the biggest damn crimes this country's ever participated in, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Joe. I'll tell you what, I'll start listening to any comments this jackass O'Reilly has to say where it concerns a war when I see his discharge papers.
They stand for piety that doesn't suffer.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the legal huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. Back to your calls. Don is calling from Milwaukee. Don, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hey. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm mad as hell at the stupidity of Americans, and I hope they're listening out there. Now that we have a prima facie case against a president who has committed gross misconduct in public office, I'm going to use his line against him. It is not Mr. Bin Laden who's trying to destroy the American way of life. It's Bush and his cronies in Washington. And I'm wondering why this chicken, you know what, Congress don't consider articles of impeachment against him. I mean, what he's done is just a tragedy for the Americans. He abused the American army. He lied to the United Nations. He lied to the U.S. Congress. And guess what?
What?
They're saying nothing.
But he hasn't had oral sex in the Oval Office. So why should we impeach him, Don? You understand what I'm saying? If he had oral sex in the Oval Office with someone other than his wife, then we could impeach him. But until that happens, apparently, we can't.
Oh, what do we do? We go back in history with Jefferson and Franklin and some of the others that had colorful stories in their tenure in office.
Right, well.
I mean, come on. I mean.
I know.
This is something. I think Americans are starting to come to their senses on this, and I've heard right now that the Bush administration is moving to get O'Neill by allegedly that he disclosed some secret documents on the interview last night, and they're going to charge him. Par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
Par
yeah.
for the course.
Sure, sure.
Now the out is they're using the fascist tactic of first of all, discrediting, and then charging, and then trying to do away with the opposition.
That's right.
And I think that the GOP should change their name to the American Nazi Party, because that's the way they act.
They do, and I'm tired of having people say they're tired of the comparisons between the Bushes and the Nazis. I don't care how tired they are. The evidence is there. The attitudes are the same. The manipulation of a public sentiment is the same. The destruction of the truth is the same. The only thing different so far is that the Bush administration has not yet picked the group that is going to be sent on the cattle cars to the execution
camps. That's right. Didn't Mr. Powell act like Goebbels when he presented his case to the UN?
He
used to tell a lie,
Yeah. Tell
it long enough and tell it big enough. And it's believable.
That's true. That's true. It's sad to see. Don, thanks for checking in.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Waggy. Well, that's not his real name. David. But he goes by Waggy. The oath I took while enlisted in the U.S. military until a few years ago, I just got out, I got out just in time, is essentially the same as the President's Oath of the United States, or the President's Oath of Office. I swore to defend the Constitution of the United States, not necessarily its citizens' territory, nor even its business interests. There's an added clause to obey the lawful orders of the officers appointed above me. Yeah, Waggy is writing a reference to what we said earlier about Bush, you know, once again making the statement that he is such a stupid, insignificant little man who happens to have wound up in the presidency of the United States. But his statement today at the joint press conference with Vicente Fox that his most solemn duty is to defend the American people, that's not true. That's the duty of the military. The duty of the chief executive officer is to protect and defend the Constitution. Oh, never mind.
Is like tricky from a copter about to depart from the White House lawn. Impeach the election stealer. Impeach the nightmare impositor of a nightmare surveillance state, and impeach impoverisher of those who work for wages.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Switching from hydrocarbons to carbohydrates means more than rearranging letters. It could change the future of our energy economy. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Two like-sounding words have very different chemistries. Hydrocarbons are made up of carbon and hydrogen atoms, and they're key components of fossil fuels such as coal, oil, and natural gas. Carbohydrates are also composed of carbon and hydrogen, but they include oxygen. They often take the form of starches, sugars, and cellulose found in green plants. David Morris is vice president of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis. Morris argues that our future lies in an economy built around carbohydrates, the plant materials, instead of hydrocarbons, the fossil fuels.
The carbohydrate economy is actually a phrase that I invented about 20 years ago, and it describes an economy where you get your fuels and your industrial materials from living materials, primarily from plants, and that economy processes the plants near where they are grown, and that they are smaller scale and medium scale processing plants, and that they are owned locally.
Morris says all the fuels and chemicals we now get from petroleum and coal could be derived from plant materials.
The carbohydrate economy says anything we can make out of a hydrocarbon, we can make out of a carbohydrate, and at one point we did.
Morris says people used to make dyes, plastics, fabrics, and hundreds of other products from plants before the age of petrochemicals. Morris says carbohydrates are cleaner than hydrocarbons, and he says we won't run out of plant materials. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderstimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
27 before the hour. Man, it's just getting more and more and more difficult to deal with the reality of the Bush crime family, isn't it? I mean, when on top of everything else, the revelations from the inside. I mean, we on the outside here, we know that these people are liars. We know they're killers. We know what they do. We are witness to it. And for those of us who take a look at U.S. political history over the last 20 years, we know that these faces have all been there for a long time, whether the slaughter was in Central America or Southeast Asia or Central Africa or the former Soviet republics. It doesn't make, you know, the same faces, the same killers, the same brutal U.S. imperialists. Where nothing matters. Blood, death, gore, it doesn't make any difference. And it gets harder and harder and harder, does it not? Every single day. Then when you have somebody like O'Neill, a typical corporate leader, naive, incurious, perhaps understands how to milk the most from unbridled, unrestrained capitalism. But does Paul O'Neill understand, as Secretary of the Treasury, what his function should be, his constitutional function? Perhaps he had glimmers of it when he said, well, but you've already given one major tax cut to the wealthy. You want to do another one? But when somebody who is present at the butchering steps out of the abattoir covered in blood and gore and guts and says, guess what's going on inside, boys? And we stand back and say, nothing, they're just making bacon, right? right? Ain't nothing going on in there. Richard is calling from Greensburg, PA. Hey, Richard.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay. I watched that interview last night. I thought it was pretty entertaining. Well, I don't think Mr. O'Neill's much of a Treasury Secretary. I thought he was pretty smart.
By smart, what do you mean? If you mean articulate, yeah, I think he's very articulate. But
no, I think he wanted to accomplish something.
Okay, what?
If I were that smart and I wanted to sink a harpoon deep into the blubber so it wouldn't be pulled out and draw some blood, I'd be real proud to do just exactly what he did.
Well, how do you? What did he do to sink the harpoon? Because this stuff is all eminently deniable.
It's all known without him saying a word. But he said, yes, that's all true. And these people are in a having a fit now.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but isn't their fit less the fit of someone who has been caught in a monstrous lie and for which they are going to have to suffer the consequences, and more the fit of people who are just trying to, once again, displace the righteous anger or the outrage, and they're just saying, look, you know, he's a disgruntled employee. We didn't listen to him when he was in the cabinet. We're going to listen to him now. George W. Bush is saving the American public from demons and Satan and death and hell and war and poverty and famine, and let's move on with our agenda. I just don't see I'll tell you why I sound pessimistic about it, Richard, because like a couple of our listeners, I got up this morning after watching this Sunday night, and I thought, well, Jesus, this is going to be all over the place. And I look at the New York Times, which I'm sorry, but I'm like a lot of people. I read my local paper and the New York Times. And the Journal Constitution mentioned it, I think, somewhere, but the New York Times, it was on page A16. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, screw it.
Why didn't they mention it?
Because the New York Times editorial board is part of the problem, not the solution.
Yeah, it's something they don't want mentioned.
Right, exactly. Because
I don't think he's naive. He kicked and gouged his way to the top of Alcoa. That's not a Sunday school.
Well, that's
and
true.
When a man, when I had the smile when he said, "Well, I'll be darned," because I thought that was the best little piece of tongue-in-cheek I've heard in a long time.
Well,
this man knows exactly what's coming his way. And first of all, he offered a challenge. You mean they're going to attack me for telling the truth? And then in the exchange, he says, "Well, I'll be darned." Is this man naive and stupid or extremely clever?
Well, I still feel that what he displayed was naivete. They're going to attack me, he asked, and this morning or this afternoon they did. They've decided to some degree, quote, investigate, close quote,
yep.
Paul O'Neill. Whether or not he stole classified documents or released or whatever the charge is. So I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right.
No, I'm not... It takes more than one harpoon. This was just one harpoon, but it ain't pulled out.
Well,
and this guy is no dummy.
All right. Well, let's. Again, I hope you're right, Richard. I hope you're right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right. I appreciate your call. Yeah, it's only one harpoon, but using the whaler's analogy here, you know, Karl Rove. Has this ability to slip overboard in the middle of the night and go slip the harpoon out. Or somebody does. I mean, Bush has been harpooned a number of times, hasn't it? Well, maybe not. I don't know anymore. My brain is turning into mush and putty and peanut butter and never mind. Southside Carl is calling from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm like a couple of callers ago. It's time for the Democrats to say that I word.
The which word?
The I word.
Oh, the impeach?
Yeah.
Well, you show me. See,
they ain't got the courage, I know, Mike, but.
But
know.
they don't have. They can't. I mean, just because somebody introduces a bill of impeachment, yeah, I was whining and yapping about that a couple of months ago too. But it goes nowhere.
Well, I'm not.
As long as the Republicans are in control.
Well, I'm not expecting for it to actually happen, but in order to frame the debate to put the pressure on, so that you know we can't just paint over it. They need to, because see, if this was a Republicans and this was a Democrat president, even though they know they couldn't have did it, they would have been saying impeach, impeach, long time ago. And part of the thing is you gotta start calling a spade a spade.
Well, you know that I agree, but the fact is, and I think there are Democrats in the U.S. House who would have the spine and the backbone required to do it. But they understand, those Democrats understand in the House, that unless they have a majority, they might as well, I don't know, whistle past the graveyard. It doesn't mean anything. Introducing a bill of impeachment in the House is an exercise in utter futility. As far as the Senate is concerned, there are enough key Democratic senators who have rolled over so many times so that George Bush could scratch their tummies, that they're disgusting. There are a few in the United States House, but those few in the House understand that it would be worse than an exercise in futility. The only thing that can happen is to get rid of the whole crew, and if Bush somehow wins this election in November and then Republicans can retake the House and or the Senate, then maybe the bastards can be stopped. But I don't see it happening.
Well, I don't know. I start yelling it right now because I don't want to even, go into election with this on the, you know, as a lost issue. The people need to. I know a lot of people are not going to even want to, you know, accept that a lot of Republicans, they still drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's no big deal.
Right.
But I think that this is what needs to be done, because basically he's violated his oath of office. And if you don't say anything, you know, you can't expect things to get better. There was something else. I don't know if you heard it. I caught it real briefly this morning. And I haven't seen it because I didn't get a chance to watch any more cable news or anything later. But, you know, part of this thing was, well, we didn't know what Saddam was going to do in the future. This is why he had to be stopped also, remember?
Yeah, right.
Well, this morning, you wouldn't believe what channel I heard it on, but they said that Saddam has some kind of lymph cancer.
I read something about that over the weekend, coming from a three Middle Eastern sources, one of which was quoting the other one. So, I've heard that. I wonder if it's true.
Well, the whole thing is that, well, that's one of the problems you get when you want to try to predict what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't.
Just remember, after he murdered Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby developed cancer too, didn't he? And he died real quick, didn't he? Huh?
But you say, do you think Paul O'Neill is naive? I don't know, Mike. Maybe not. Maybe the guy has the real smoking gun. You know, I don't think he's so stupid. Because I think that was part of some of what I missed, too, was the interview. But some of what he was saying is he did mention that this administration, they like to get even.
Oh, yeah.
So if you know that someone likes to get even and you're about to cause them problems, you usually got something to cover your butt with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a possibility that he might have something, you know, some kind of hold card that, well, just ain't out there. And if they really want to come, you know, after him, well, then we might find out. But I would still, though, be, like I said, not that I'm expecting that it to happen before election, but I think it's time for us to put it on the table and make people start, you know, addressing it. Because, like you said, with the news items and stuff today,
uh-huh.
Basically everyone is you know, looking at this like, well, afraid to say, well, the emperor has no clothes.
Right, right.
All right then, Mike.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Who was... Well, I'm having one of those senior moments, and I have an awful lot. I'm talking about people who mysteriously, like Saddam, like Jack Ruby, develop... Who was the director of the CIA? Not Stansfield Turner, for God's sake. Come on, Mike. The one who was going to be questioned in the Iran-Contra affair and developed a brain tumor and died. And was it Woodward who said he was the investigative reporter? Bob Woodward said he was in the hospital room when the guy sucked in his last breath. Who was it? Somebody help me out here. Not William Colby. Boy, do I feel like a complete moron. Hey, Jeff is calling from Atlanta. Maybe Jeff knows. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
You know, I'm having a senior moment, too, right at the same time.
Yeah, it's...
it's not working out good for us.
No, it's not. It's not. Somebody will email it to me here. I'll get about 50 responses here real quick, because that's usually what happens when I...
It's good to hear the voice of a human being. Right. I tell you, man, thanks for supporting the human beings, because the robots are winning.
I know. It does seem that way.
I will say this. I think that, first of all, I'm a huge fan, and I appreciate what you're doing. And before I say anything about Paul O'Neill, I will say that if this format on internet and radio doesn't work out, it's all of our fault. It's not your fault.
I hear that. Hey, let me interrupt just a second, Jeff, so that I can stop an onslaught of emails. Don just sent it to me. William Casey. That's who you
sure,
and I,
man.
That's who we were trying to think about. William Casey. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Don. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, I don't know what's
going on. I think it's just been an onslaught of one-sided. It's just been really sad. And I don't mean that. I'm not saying that as a left-wing Democrat or any of that. I'm really saying that ideologically.
Mm-hmm.
It's been incredibly unbalanced, and it's been incredibly unfair for the general public to really not have any. You know, they talk about the media as liberal.
Right.
Now we don't say that much anymore. I mean, you know, said that. What happened to that idea? That idea is gone, vaporized. But I will say, I think Paul O'Neill, imagine being in that guy's shoes, seeing what he saw happen, go through what he went through, seeing it from the inside. It's not gotten any better. It keeps getting worse. And I think the guy just has exploded with a combination of complete anxiety and he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's got to be angry. And I do think the caller in Chicago is right. I mean, the guy's smart. He's being provocative. And I'm glad he had the balls to come out. And he's kind of dropped the bomb in a very finessed kind of a way. And fortunately, I hope they really, grab the bait and do the whole thing.
But you know, the element that's missing here, Jeff, is we don't have an independent, aggressive press media in this country. Because you're right. Let's assume that you and the caller were right. This was a finessed move. This was a very good move on Neil's part. He drops this bomb. Now it's up to media to pick it up. And like I said, A16 in the New York Times today is where I read that story. Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come back to you in just a second. We got to take a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Out of their way, just simplify the complex, repeat, 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 propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds.
and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more of me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom in Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun. Spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Molloy.
5 before the hour, we're talking with Jeff, who called in from Atlanta. We're talking about a bombshell drop, but no media to pick it up, Jeff.
No, it's it doesn't seem that way. I hope that's the case in the next few days. But the thing is, man, until the right questions are asked, like, for instance, can we go into the personnel files of the two ex-employees that are the maddest, which is Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, really.
Can we see what these guys are really mad about? Because it's not really, it couldn't be religion. And the thing is, we're not even talking about our history with these people. These are people that we know well.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture that you paint, that people paint of what this country relationship with Osama bin Laden, and if you get the kind of watered down version on CNN where it's kind of like a tease, they get right up to where they're going to say something and then they go to a commercial but you don't get the real, why are these people angry?
Right.
What, why do they want to kill us? And
right.
The thing is, our government is putting me, you, and the rest of the general public in a position to be hated by the entire world.
Yeah.
And start a war from really two fundamentalists. George Bush, who uses religiosity, ideological ideas, to really espouse that he has a presuppositional way of talking about it, like God's on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Osama bin Laden.
Right.
And as someone who's been in and studied religion myself, I don't think that people realize that we're starting something. We're starting a fire that may never be put out, and that no election and no guy coming out of the closet and saying, hey, this is happening, finger pointing, at some point with what's been done may do anything.
Right.
And it's really scary. I mean, I'm actually 44-year-old man who is, I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And the thing is, Mike, I mean, you're really, you and the people that do what you do are in a position to, like your funny commercial just said, you know, you don't just, you know, just use people calling in to do a didactical presentation of all of your web readings, you know, the things you got off the web. And that's really because you're letting me talk. I mean, you're letting
Jeff,
me talk.
Jeff, we're flat out of time.
Okay, man.
Thank you, buddy. Call in again.
All right, sir.
Baby. Take care. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. One U.S. soldier was killed and two were wounded Monday in a roadside bombing in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad, one U.S. commander said. Meanwhile, on Monday, Iraq's top Shiite Muslim cleric, in a full-page advertisement, reiterated his demand for the country's next legislature to be elected as he hardens his opposition to U.S. plans for regional caucuses. The Baghdad killing was the first reported combat death among U.S. troops since Friday, when nine soldiers were killed when a medevac helicopter was shot down near Fallujah. The latest casualties were from the 1st Armored Division, the command said. Precautions in the name of air security are about to be taken to a level unimaginable in the United States only a few years ago. The Washington Post reports the Bush administration is expected to order as soon as next month the first step in setting up databases on all air passengers to be used to color code each air traveler according to his or her potential threat level. Passengers coded red would be stopped from boarding, yellow would mean additional screening at airport security checkpoints, and green would mean an only standard level of security. Airlines and airline reservation companies would reportedly be forced to turn over all passenger records to U.S. government officials who struck out in a trial program which was based on voluntary surrender of airline industry data. The Supreme Court has set the stage for a series of rulings on the reach of presidential power, decisions that could arrive just as voters focus on whether to endorse George W. Bush in the 2004 election. Since November, the justices have voted to take up five cases that test the president's power to act alone and without interference by Congress or the courts. The case taken up Friday may be the broadest of all. 2 years ago, the White House said the president had the power to designate U.S. citizens unlawful enemy combatants and hold them in secret military custody without filing charges or allowing them to plead their innocence. More after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Mushi, a small cat that formed an unlikely friendship with a half-ton bear called Mouse in a Berlin zoo, has been reunited with her companion after pining outside the bear's cage for months. Mushi has been popular with zoo visitors ever since she appeared in the bear's enclosure 3 years ago, but the pair were split up last October when the bear was locked in a cage while her living space was enlarged. Zookeepers took pity on the distraught cat that had been roaming around the zoo and sitting outside the cage, and this week allowed her in the cage with the female Asiatic black bear. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Before we rush full tilt buggy into the 04 election cycle, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Yes, the good folks who pay for the campaigns of George W. and most of the Democratic presidential contenders should be acknowledged before next year's vote. I say we should highlight these corporate interests now, just to get a sense of who's buying what in our land of the free. Of course, the corporate big spenders and the politicos they purchase insist that nothing is being bought, that the corporations putting up $100,000 to $1 million each want only good government. If you believe that, Pollyanna, you should check out something called Internal Political Party Documents at this website, campaignlegalcenter.org. Here you'll find the smoking quid pro quo between the corporate contributors and the political contributees of both parties. For example, there's a letter from the Republican Party chairman to the drug giant Bristol Myers Squibb requesting $250,000. Does the letter ask for good government? Not exactly. It encloses the GOP's health care proposal, asking Bristol Myers for any changes they'd like to make. The Politico says to the CEO, quote, "We must keep the lines of communication open if we want to continue passing legislation that will benefit your industry." There's another letter from the Republican finance chairman to the chairman of Global Crossing, the corrupt telecommunications giant that, at the time, was pushing for a federal okay of a merger. As an ante, Global Crossing had pledged $100,000 to the party with a promise to hike it to $250,000 if the merger went through. Surprise! It did. So the finance chairman wrote back to the corporate guy, "I am taking the liberty of enclosing an invoice for the additional upgrade." This is Jim Hightower saying, this corporate money is not buying good government, it's buying corruption. To stop it, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
The look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending "I don't boogie"?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Just a moment. The caller right before the break, Jeff, who said he's a big fan of the program. I'm a big fan of his. I'm not going to say his last name because he didn't tell me I could, but he is one of the finest musicians of the bluegrass stripe, among others, but bluegrass has been his forte now for a number of years, that you would ever, 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 ever want to hear. He was with a group, and I'm not mispronouncing it, Blue Ground Undergrass. Blue Ground Undergrass. If you ever get a chance to hear him, they're from the Atlanta area, Jeff is. When Kathy and I lived in Chicago, they came up to Shuba's, one of the clubs up in Lakewood in Chicago, and we went to hear him there, hear him here. Any place, no matter where I am, if I see Blue Ground Undergrass or Jeff is playing someplace, I'll go. Just remember, and like I say, I would say his last name, but he didn't come up, and I just maybe someday. Great, great musician. Dr. Gregory from DePaul University in Chicago. Mike, here's how it played out in Chicago. I was mentioning about media attention. New York Times had on page A16 this morning, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution had it. It was in the A section. I don't think it was on the front page. Anyway, Dr. Gregory, that's his first name. Mike, here's how it played out in Chicago. I was amazed this morning that the tabloid, and what seems lately to be an ever-burgeoning conservative rag, the tabloid Chicago Sun-Times put the O'Neill story on the front page with the headline, Bush had no proof for war, O'Neill. The Tribune buried it on page 9 and really only covered Cheney's comments about deficits. Yeah, that's kind of surprising. It is indeed. The owners of the Sun-Times, or the owner of the Sun-Times, Conrad Black, is at... Or is he one of the people involved? Big scandal. We'll see what happens to the Sun-Times. From Margie in California, Mike, you have to remember Mr. O'Neill is selling a book for which he is not taking any profits. His publishers will be pushing to have this man out in the public eye hawking the book. So what you have is a third party interested in keeping Mr. O'Neill at the forefront and in the media as much as possible. Do you believe that if Mr. O'Neill begins his whirlwind book tour on the talk shows, the media will simply ignore him? I think at some point the media just can't. Let's hope this is just the beginning. And then Margie informs us that the Taipei Times is covering this, CNN, the BBC, CBS, PBS. So it is getting a lot of coverage, and I hope it continues to get coverage. And I hope you folks who take the position that this is a harpoon in the whale the removal of another brick in the wall or whatever. I hope you all are right. Or those of you who took the point of view that, no, this was not a naive move on O'Neill's part, which was my first reaction. He's extremely naive if he said, well, why would they have anything bad to say about me? I'm just telling the truth. I may have misread that altogether. And if that's the case, great. I hope I am misreading it. I hope you folks are absolutely right that Paul O'Neill knows precisely what he's doing. Like I say, I just have a lot of animosity toward the guy because of his past, his history. When Bush nominated him to be Secretary of Treasury, we talked about him on this program. He has an abysmal record with Alcoa from a standpoint not just of workers and benefits, but also destruction and pollution of the environment. I just never liked him. If he has a redeeming quality, I mean, there were even Nazis who tried to assassinate Hitler. I guess we have to remember that. There were several attempts on his life. So maybe a political assassination or a political attack by some of these people. I think Christy Todd Whitman is trying. She had an op-ed piece. Where was it today? Was that in the Times? She had an op-ed piece in the Times trying in a very muted way to let folks know that she was not part of the Bush crime family. While she supported Republican policies, yada, yada, yada. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Who knows? Andy is calling from Baltimore. Andy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
I wanted to go back to something you mentioned last hour. You spoke briefly about people debating whether or not it was okay to discuss the Bush administration in the same vein as the Third Reich.
Right.
And a lot of times people are getting in a huff over, well, we're not committing a Holocaust. It's nowhere near as bad, etc. However,
right.
they're taking everything out of context because most of the comparisons are political. And if you look at the timeline of Nazi Germany, you don't have Kristallnacht until 1938. Hitler came to power in 1933. That's 5 years after he came to power, where what, into the fourth year of the Bush administration. I'm not saying that...
Well, that's a good point. No,
that there's going to be a Holocaust in America, but
right.
like, let's look at the timeline. Bush has invaded more countries in his 3.5 years than Hitler did in his first 3.5 years. There's enough political parallels that it isn't ludicrous.
Well, I guess that's what I connect to, are the political parallels, because they are almost... obscene in their blatantness of the comparisons between these two governments and the willingness on the part of the two populations to go along with this stuff. But you're absolutely right in terms of a timeline. I tend sometimes to date Hitler from September 1939 with the invasion of Poland, and it's like he was in office 6 years before that ever happened.
And you had the Reichstag fire that
right.
a lot of people have equated to the 9/11 attacks,
right.
And if it comes out, many people believe that it was either allowed to happen or even made to happen. 9/11, even more parallels to the rise of Nazism in Germany, and really, like, it's sort of a mesh between Nazism in Germany, the way they're manipulating the media and popular opinion. And then their policies, I guess, are probably more like Mussolini's fascism with corporatism, et cetera. But there's enough parallels that it's just frightening.
It is indeed. And I think anybody who does not at least recognize the parallels, one doesn't have to say, oh, God, they're doing the same thing they did in Germany in the 30s. It doesn't even have to go that far. But for an American citizen to not recognize these parallels or comparisons or similarities, I think it's just absolutely criminal. I realize everybody's tired and everybody's got to work, and some people have worked three jobs, and the kids are screaming, and this needs to be done and that needs to be done. But there is a larger picture that I think should at least be acknowledged. We all live... To one degree or another, not total lives of quiet desperation, but most of us do live lives that are not macro. They're more micro, certainly I do. And the only reason I sometimes think that I'm aware of the things I'm aware of is from the input from folks like you from this program, and also from the research I have to do simply because I do this kind of work. But I also think... That's not exactly true, because long before I ever got into talk radio, I was a political activist and tried to stay alert and current on what was going on. So, yeah, I think people need to understand those parallels, and if they don't, it's like playing with fire, and it's going to get us for sure. Andy, I'm glad you called in. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Just very quickly here, this happened this afternoon. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided to allow the Bush administration to keep secret the names and other basic details about hundreds of people detained after the attacks on this country 2 years ago. Reuters news agency says, without comment, the top court refused to hear an appeal by civil liberties and other groups challenging the secret arrests and detentions for violating the Freedom of Information Act and constitutional free speech rights under the First Amendment. The justices let stand a U.S. appeals court ruling that disclosing the names could harm national security and, quote, help al-Qaeda in plotting future terrorist attacks or intimidating witnesses in the present investigation, unquote. Attorneys for the groups expressed disappointment. The groups who brought who filed amicus briefs or who brought this case. Attorneys for the groups expressed disappointment that the Supreme Court rejected their appeal and will not consider whether the government acted properly. Kate Martin, director of the Center for National Security Studies, one of the groups who brought the lawsuit, said, quote, the Justice Department is keeping the name secret to cover up its misconduct, holding people incommunicado and without charges. The cover-up maintains the fiction that the government was going after terrorists when instead it was rounding up hundreds of innocent Arabs and Muslims, end quote. Stephen Shapiro of the ACLU said he still believes the secret arrest of more than 700 people violates basic due process rights. He said the government's own reports have documented mistreatment and arbitrary detentions. The Justice Department, Ashcroft's Justice Department, urging the High Court to reject the appeal, said it was entitled to an exception that allows information to be withheld for law enforcement investigations, which is obscene, which is almost as big or perhaps bigger of an obscenity than Bush's doctrine of preemptive war, that if I think somebody is building weapons, I therefore have a right to slaughter them. If I am conducting a criminal investigation, I can set aside the constitutional protections found in the Bill of Rights. That's what Ashcroft's Justice Department, and that's what this maintained in their petition, and that's what the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld now by not hearing the case. Law enforcement is entitled to an exception that allows information to be withheld for law enforcement investigations. If that's not a perversion, if that's not a destruction, if that's not an impeachable offense, see, it just keeps happening, doesn't it? Just keeps happening and happening and happening. Well, probably not for too much longer. Frank is calling from Boston. Frank, hold on a second. I'll come back and we'll chat right after this break, okay?
Okay.
All right, sir. And if you are holding on, stick around. We'll get your calls coming up here in just a moment. I'm Mike Malloy.
Evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds
and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Mike Mullock Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Cats behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Mullock Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Mullock.
Sorry, I confess. I kind of like the song. All right, Frank, you're calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
But, if you don't mind me talking about something different, I want to mention something I pulled out of the paper a couple weeks ago.
Go right ahead.
It was in the want ads, and it's obviously the Republicans' fixture for the job problem in the United States. And here's the ad word for word. Conservative political activists, conservative groups, want committed conservatives career in stopping liberals. now that's Nazi-like right there.
Of course it is.
Are you a conservative and proud of it? Entry-level positions with varied duties, including campaigns, legislation, face-to-face fundraising, copywriting, and office management. Must be willing to travel and or relocate. Now, there's a number. You notice it's very general about what they are. No direct identification.
Right.
And, by the way, I'm getting together a fax and a resume. I'm going to fax it into them and apply for a job, and I'm passing that around to my friends. I think we all should, really.
Well, if you can email me a copy of the phone number, email it to me. I'll call it up, and if it's fun, I'll put it on the air.
I'll send you the ad word for word, okay? That way.
Yeah, that'll work.
The Boston Herald is one of the major papers around here.
Sure.
They think they're respectable, so most people do. Most of the knuckleheads that have kept Bush in office by the Herald. Well, I do too, so I must say.
Right.
I'll email the. I'll copy this down and send it along to you.
Okay.
Bye bye now.
All right. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate you checking in. Isn't the Boston Herald owned by the New York Times now? I think it is. Maybe wrong on that. Susan is calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I decided to call you up with what I think is some good news.
Okay.
And I'm spurred on by the last things because I know this Supreme Court will never take Bush out. Mm-hmm. Impeachment probably won't happen. Mm-hmm. So we have to get him out,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the way
do.
We get him out is by voting him out. And that's what we really have to do. Anyway, we had a caucus in Santa Cruz on Saturday, which was a lot of fun. And when I walked in, I thought, oh, my God, we Kucinichites were totally outnumbered. You know, there were so many Dean people and a bunch of Clark people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just that Kucinich folks don't understand numbers, so a lot of people that I know are campaigning didn't show up. But we came in second. We came in above Clark. Later on found out that the Clark people that were there, half of them were from out of town.
Huh.
That's his thing, is to ship in outsiders and bring videos in so he can say later that he had all that support in those cities.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. It's quite interesting. And I also studied kind of like who were, you know, what the campaigns were composed of. And Dean had a lot of young people, and the speaker for Dean, all he talked about was Dean's charisma, his ability to raise money, what a great leader he was, and a few of us kept shouting, issues, issues.
Right.
And there was nothing but fluff. So he's very successful at the PR. He had a really mixed group, you know, mixed ethnically, racially. That was neat, and a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
But we had all the energy in the room, and they kept looking over at us. So what I did was, during this time, I talked to a lot of people. I walked up to Clark supporters, and I asked them why, you know, they're supporting Clark. And I talked to the Dean people. I talked to everybody I could talk to and found out that almost the first word out of these folks' mouth was, Kucinich, yeah, I really align with him,
yeah, right.
But he's not electable.
But he's not electable.
And I thought...
Hey, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold, and I'll come right back, Susan. We have to take a break here.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Switching from hydrocarbons to carbohydrates means more than rearranging letters. It could change the future of our energy economy. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Two like-sounding words have very different chemistries. Hydrocarbons are made up of carbon and hydrogen atoms, and they're key components of fossil fuels such as coal, oil, and natural gas. Carbohydrates are also composed of carbon and hydrogen, but they include oxygen. They often take the form of starches, sugars, and cellulose found in green plants. David Morris is vice president of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis. Morris argues that our future lies in an economy built around carbohydrates, the plant materials, instead of hydrocarbons, the fossil fuels.
The carbohydrate economy is actually a phrase that I invented about 20 years ago, and it describes an economy where you get your fuels and your industrial materials from living materials, primarily from plants, and that economy processes the plants near where they are grown, and that they are smaller scale and medium scale processing plants, and that they are owned locally.
Morris says all the fuels and chemicals we now get from petroleum and coal could be derived from plant materials.
The carbohydrate economy says anything we can make out of a hydrocarbon, we can make out of a carbohydrate, and at one point we did.
Morris says people used to make dyes, plastics, fabrics, and hundreds of other products from plants before the age of petrochemicals. Morris says carbohydrates are cleaner than hydrocarbons, and he says we won't run out of plant materials. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazis. Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
27 before the hour. Susan, thanks for calling back in. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got back in.
Yeah, I hit the wrong button. I've been doing that a lot lately.
I can't blame you. The news is, you know, flying around fast and
heavy. Listen, regarding what you're talking about, at truthout.org.
Yeah, he's 46%.
Yeah, they're doing a poll there, and of 12,588 votes cast, Kucinich, then Dean, then Clark, then Kerry.
But he's way ahead.
Yeah, this sort of thing constantly pops up.
Yeah.
Where people who are, and again, I don't like to use this term because it's unnecessarily redundant, liberal Democrats. It used to be Democrats were liberals, period. There was no debate about it. But so often when liberal Democrats get together, and somebody says, well, who are we voting for? Kucinich keeps popping up. Now, you wouldn't know from the press, you wouldn't know from the attacks on Howard Dean, which brings me to the other thing I wanted to mention on your phone call, is these attacks on Howard Dean.
Right.
I'm getting to the point, I want to go after these guys with a hammer, the ones who...
They're stupid to do it.
It's awful. Awful.
Yeah. There's reason to do it. I mean... did you see this article? If you haven't seen it, I'll send it to you about the lies, the deception. It's called The Dean Deception by Keith Rosenthal.
I may have seen it. I'm sure it's been out for a while, but send me a link. I'll take another look. I'll just
copy an email and forward it to you so you have it. But it really talks about his record and his political maneuvering. He's a maneuver. He's a weaseler. That's why I don't like him. And I could see he's so good. His PR is so good that he has a campaign with no substance and lots of people following him. So, and it's really kind of a mirror to Bush. You know, it's not much different.
You know, there are tens and tens of people listening to this program right now who would be very, very upset with what you're saying about Howard Dean.
About Howard Dean?
Yeah.
But it's true. And I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The guy is not a straight shooter. And that's what I love about Dennis, that he is a straight shooter. Mm. He says what he means. And I don't know if you watched the debate last night, but he got the largest applause of anybody and the fewest questions.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the largest applause. And they actually had him on Hardball for about 30 seconds. But Chris Matthews said, I thought you didn't want to talk to me. So they must have had something that went on. But that's the first time That's the first time, even though he was the last candidate and it was only a few seconds, it was the first time he followed a debate.
As useless as they are, and as pointless, the Iowa caucuses are what, in a week? And then we'll have some sort of an idea, won't we?
Yeah, maybe. But also this weekend, for anybody who's listening from Bay Area, there is a convention, a Democratic convention in San Jose. I am going on Saturday. A whole bunch of us are going from Santa Cruz on Saturday.
Mm.
And I think also the lesson to be learned from Saturday is that numbers really count, and we can't be real casual about it. Like, I noticed Kucinich folks kind of trickling in throughout the whole thing, and about five folks arrived just before or just as the vote was being called in, so they missed voting.
Yeah.
So I think we have to, we casual creative types who love Kucinich, we need to be aware that showing up is really, really important, and that as much as money counts, numbers count more. So we just got to get out there and do our thing.
I hear you. Thanks, Susan.
So thank you.
All right.
God bless you, Mike.
You have a nice evening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Who was it that said 90% of life is just showing up? Was that Mark Twain? Or was it Ronald Reagan? Rich is calling from Morgantown, West Virginia. Hey, Rich.
Gosh, Mike, don't you love callers like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
All the ducks in a row and you know, wow, the woman blew my mind. Be there or be square.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, Mike, I've not been tuned up to you much I've not been tuned into you for a long time. Mike just got the Sirius satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so tickled to get in touch with you, if only for a short time. You do this doom thing of the IE broadcasting network's going to go off the air, and it just panics my heart. But I suppose that may be the truth, but I'll look for you wherever you are. Mike, I just wanted to tell you that in my heart, listening to you, I hear a constant theme of love in your voice, and I'm not being facetious at all. I feel that even when you talk about and scream, I hate these people, I hate these people, I hear the ring of love coming through your voice as strong as any great speaker that I have ever heard who had the truth and verity in their heart and their soul. And I want to tell you something, brother. I love you for that. It comes through. To me, I hear you saying that you hate what happened to these people.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It is true, isn't it?
It's difficult for me to take compliments. I think you know that. But on the other hand,
that's cool.
On the other hand, you know, I know what you're saying. I hate injustice, like you do, like most people listen to this program. I hate lies. I hate deception. I hate sneaky people. I've said a million times, I've said at least 100 times that I have no axe to grind with real Republicans.
Right.
And no axe to grind with real Democrats. I wish we had more than two parties, but that's what we have in this country. And in my lifetime, the Democrats and the Republicans would struggle and push and pull and tug, and out of that would come what basically was fairly good ideas. We've had some dark periods. We've had some politicians who were just corrupt and filthy and all about death and destruction. But I believe that people can do the right thing. And when you see our leaders lying to us. You know, a lie is bad enough, but a lie that brings about death and destruction and chaos and disorder and darkness and it's just vile and awful. And I've been taken to task. I think it was Gizmo took me to task for saying I'm ashamed to be an American. He was right.
I'm ashamed of Bill Clinton on you, but I felt your pain that night.
Yeah, I'm ashamed of the leadership that has taken over this country, and I guess that would be more rational, because, you know, like you, like people listening to this program, for the most part, at least the ones in this country, I was formed by this country. I believe in this country. I believe that we have, I don't think any country has the kind of documents that we have that were set down at our founding, even though within those documents are some awful racism, some awful denial of human rights. At least their hearts were in the right place.
Those documents were set down for a specific structure, and they have damn sure borne out fruit for that specific structure.
Right, that's true.
But I don't necessarily want to remake that document. I mean, hell's bells. Within that document are things that the wonderful people have extracted and made come to fruition.
Right.
Only through fighting like heck.
That's right. I hate the liars and the deceivers. I hate the demons. And I guess that's what you're hearing.
That's what I'm getting at with you, Mike. You come through to me, man, like you hate what happened to people, how people had to sell their souls for certain things in this country. It's just a doggone shame, buddy, and I could use harsher language.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know that you want to sometimes, but, man, I hear love coming through in your voice, Mike. Love for this country and a love for what this country could be.
Well, thanks, Rich.
And I got to tell you something, Michael. It enthuses me, man.
Well, thanks, and I just remember, I appreciate your comments, I really do,
yeah.
But I remember what I learned as a kid on grade school playgrounds, takes one to know one, so if you hear that, you certainly feel the same
thing. Well, that's what I hear, brother. You take care.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate you checking in. Really do. All right, now, after all that good talk, and I appreciate it, Rich, I need somebody to get me back to reality. Oh! Guess who's here? Our Broken Arrow Bureau Chief, Nelson, calling all the way from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Hey, Nelson.
Greetings from reality.
Yeah, I know. There he is, Mr. Reality. Hey, you've got an awful... What are you using to call me on? Tin cans and a string? The static is just monumental here.
Really? I've got it on my side, too. But, well, I'll tell you what. I'll keep it short, then.
Well, no. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's hang up, and you call back in.
Okay.
All right, let's see what happens with that, because I want to hear what Nelson's got to say. While he's calling in, you want to hear Bush? We have two sound bites from Bush today. Actually, three. We can do these real quick while we're waiting for Nelson to call back in. This is when Bush was at the Quinta Real Hotel in Monterrey, Mexico, with El Presidente Vicente Fox. Do I sound enough like him? Where's Nelson? He hasn't called back in yet. Okay. An Hispanic reporter asks Bush, on migrating matters, why was this new policy proposed? This has to do with Bush's, hey, send me your tired, send me your hungry, send me the people who work for $2 an hour. The reporter says, what else can we expect for the Mexican worker? Excuse me. Can we expect the same treatment as the Canadian ones without any approaches? Does this have election purposes? Will the United States avoid violating the human rights in our airports? Now, Bush ignores the equality with Canadian workers thing and the airport human rights thing of the question. See if you can understand what he's trying to say in his answer. I gave up 30 seconds after hearing this nonsense.
I proposed this change in immigration law because I think it is the right thing to do. It recognizes the reality of our country.
Oh, there you go.
President and I talked about whether or not, the ramifications of this initiative to Mexico.
What?
And as I repeat to you that this is these workers are of benefit to my country. They're hardworking, decent, honorable people that are in our country because to fill jobs that others won't take
for $3
on the one hand, and also to make a living, to put money, to get money and to send money back to their families.
Oh, Jesus, I get so tired of the way he just butchers language. The President and I talked about whether or not, the ramifications of this initiative to Mexico. Does that make sense to you? No, of course not. Of course not. There's our Broken Arrow Bureau Chief, Nelson. Oh, much better.
Yeah, how about that?
There you go.
Sometimes you just got to believe, you know?
Yeah, you should do.
Anyway, now a couple things. As far as the show goes, the past couple weeks you have been a lot happier, and you've been having more fun on the air.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just my perception, but I can remember, you know, there was a time when he used to have, you know, a really good sense of humor and whatnot, and that's coming back, and I'm glad to hear it.
Okay, by implication, you're saying there was a long dry spell when I was just a nasty, mean-tempered, cynical old man, right?
Let me put it to you this way. Throughout, like, October, early November, it was kind of rough sledding in there, a few days.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I understand. I do. It's hard to maintain a good attitude sometimes. It really is. No excuse. You're absolutely right. I fall into that. It's what Hemingway used to call the black ass.
Exactly right.
And you get an attitude that is so down, so negative, so dark.
And if you're not careful, it feeds on itself, and then you have to work at it to get out of it.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, we know what happened to Hemingway. He put a shotgun in his mouth.
I wasn't going to go there, but since you did.
Not me, dude.
No,
I have a pregnant wife.
I know.
Right.
What we hear.
There you go.
Anyway, a couple things I wanted to cover with you. One is on the Paul O'Neill interview Sunday. I watched that. And when he ended it and says, yeah, well, they can't go after me for telling, or they can't attack me for telling the truth. I'm like, okay.
I bet you were rolling on the floor, were you?
And I thought to myself, well, you know, he is not a stupid man.
Right.
Not at all. And I don't know if he was trying to like immunize himself to where, okay, I'll say that, and then when they come after me, I can say, well, there you go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or, it's a case where, he was playing them.
Well, you folks, you're the fourth or fifth one. I've got a bunch of emails on this too. You folks have more confidence in O'Neill's ability to try to get the truth out, maintain his own integrity, and go after these Bushies than I do. And I hope y'all are right. I really do. I hope what O'Neill did or said was calculated to the point where he could sit there and afford to sit there with a very straight face. And in a non-naive frame, say, well, how could they go after me for telling the truth? I hope you guys are right, Nelson.
Well, you know, and it's like we've heard so many times during the 90s, if Bill Clinton had only told the truth,
yeah,
how much of that could have been avoided, how much money and time and effort, you know, could have been saved if he had only told the truth.
Well, do you believe that?
Hell no.
Right.
I'm sorry. I try to avoid being cynical, but
yeah.
the way the whole thing has gone since Lee Atwater.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. Al Gore was like the Eagle Scout of the Clinton administration until it came time for him to run.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
And then they absolutely brutalized him.
It has nothing to do with Al Gore per se. It had to do with an opponent.
That's right.
That must be demonized, must be dealt with.
That's right.
You know, and that's unfortunately that's just the way the game is being played today. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, Nelson, good to hear from you, pal.
Okay.
All right, sir. Take care.
Keep the faith.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
By our own leader, we have been driven to the edge of Armageddon. Bush lies and people die.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome back to the show that you have to listen to because there are no other shows on mainstream media channels. Although I do want to talk more about me and how Bush is the second coming of God, I'll take a call or two. Okay, Bill in Kansas City. Oh, you want to compliment me? Well, let's get you on the air.
I was just calling to let everybody know that on January 19th, Sirius Left Stream 145 is switching to 143. You suck, and so does your show.
I'm not sure how that call made it through our church-going call screeners, but it won't happen again. This show's about me, right, Kenneth in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Sirius Left Stream 145 changing to 143 on January 19th is very important news, because that's where you can hear good talk radio, not the crap you're putting out.
What?
Loser.
I'm the best thing to happen to radio, and you all know that. That's right. Don't you?
Sirius Left Stream 145 is changing to 143 on January 19th. Still the best political talk radio, but just on a different channel.
Cut to a commercial and play some patriotic music. They'll be back.
No, they won't.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you...
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Let's see if we can get the rest of these Bush sound bites. There's only two of them here from his joint press conference with Vicente Fox today. Another Latino reporter asks about free trade, and the reporter says, Mr. President, if you can really talk about a free trade agreement in North America between Mexico, the United States, and Canada, can you achieve a free trade agreement in the Americas with the opposition of many countries such as Brazil and Venezuela? Now, Bush, if you said to Bush, show me Venezuela and Brazil on a map, he couldn't do it. But listen to his answer.
I hope to
those who are expressed some opposition about the free trade agreement of the Americas, look at the facts. And the fact is that NAFTA has lifted lives and ended poverty in some parts of our in our neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
And to this end, the United States will not only push for the free trade agreement of the America, we will continue trade agreements with countries like Chile. We just concluded one with Chile, but with the Central American countries and Andean countries. We believe in trade. We believe it's in the interest of the neighborhood that we trade freely.
I don't think there's any Andes Mountains in Central America, but I could be wrong. We'll continue Central American countries, the Andean countries. Now, George, Carl or somebody gave you some words and you got them confused. Last one. We got time for the last one? Okay. American reporter asked about Iraq. Mr. President, my question is about Iraq. The death toll in Iraq, the American death toll, is approaching 500. I wonder whether you have any reservations now about whether that toll is worth it to achieve your objective in Iraq and the Middle East.
A democratic, free Iraq is in the national interests of our country.
Run that tape, boy.
A free country in the midst of the Middle East will make America more secure.
Run that tape.
As a matter of fact, make any country more secure.
Run it.
And the decision I made was a tough decision. We've had discussions prior to the decision and after the decision.
Run it.
Vicente Fox is a good enough friend for him to be able to express his opinion to me without the loss of friendship. And he didn't agree with the decision I made. But the decision I made was the right one for America.
Click.
And history will prove it's the right one for the world. And we will stay the course until the job is done.
Boy, you're optimistic, dude, because, you know, your time in the Oval Office is not... oh, well. Program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Thanks to our militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com who maintain order at the message boards. Check it out, okay? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE.